I'd like to welcome everyone, whether you're here for the first time, whether you're here camping with us. It's great to see so many young faces, though you all do look incredibly warm. So I trust you've had a good afternoon. I won't say you got rid of lots of energy, because I don't think you probably have. Too warm. But it's good to be here. It's good to come as we worship our God, isn't it? As we come and sing his praises and come under his word. Well, our first hymn today is My Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then stand with the music. Before we pray, if I can just draw your attention to two prayer meetings this week. One on Tuesday at 8 o'clock around our house, praying specifically for the camp and the campers, and it'd be great if you can make that. And then secondly, on Thursday evening at 7:30, praying for Cyprus, and James and Rachel are hoping to connect with us technologically, and they will be joining us on Thursday as we meet to pray for them. But we're going to pray now, and afterwards Jacob is going to come up and read our first reading. But let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, as we come to you in prayer, we acknowledge that you are a great God. We acknowledge that as we come to you in prayer, you know what we need before we ask you. We know that you know what we're going to ask for before we speak. We know that
whatever we suggest, you can think of much better ideas. And we pray that when we pray to you, Lord, we would pray according to your will, so that you do the best for us. And we come and acknowledge that you are the God of creation. Lord, we look around, we've had a beautiful, beautiful sunny day. Lord, and we see your creation in its full glory. But we acknowledge that you are the God of the rain. You are the God of the cold as well. You're the God who made the mountains, the huge, huge mountains, yet also the tiny ladybird. You do massive and you do small. And yet in creation, Lord, your piece de la resistance, the best part of creation, was when you made man. And Lord, how we mucked up. How we didn't live according to the way you wanted to. How we offended you and broke your rules. Even though you had made us in your image. Even though there were so many characteristics that you put into us that is part of you. And Lord, we come before you and acknowledge that we have done wrong. Lord, we confess our sin before you and we ask that you would forgive us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that when you looked down, when you saw us, when you saw the way that we'd mucked up, you knew that we couldn't fix it. There's nothing we could do to get right with you again. And so you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross, to take the punishment for all those who would look to him, believing and trusting that as he died, he took their punishment. We pray that everyone here in this room will come to know you as their Saviour. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be working amongst us. We pray that for the campers this week, that he would be convicting them of their sin and pointing them to Jesus. We ask that when we die, no one in this room will have not come to you and ask for forgiveness and know you as their Saviour. Lord, we thank you that we have your word that is so honest with us and teaches us not only about ourselves, but teaches us about you. And we pray that as we read your word, whether that's at home, whether on camp, even tonight, Lord, that you would speak to us through it. Lord, we pray that in our lives we would be sensitive to what you would have to say to us. Lord, we do ask for tonight that you would, despite the heat, help us to concentrate. Help us to focus on what you have to say to us. We ask this for your honour and glory. Amen.
The readings from James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25 on page 1011 on the Church Bible. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he is blessed in his doing.
We're going to stand for our second hymn, which is In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. Let's stand and sing with the music.
Thank you.
We're going to turn again to prayer, and then Elijah is going to do the second reading. You're not quite that small, Elijah, are you? Let's turn to God in prayer again. Let's pray. Father God, we've acknowledged what a great God you are. And we've seen that you are a God of love through sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us, so that we can be forgiven if we turn to you. But we're thankful that you're a God that knows each and every one of our individual circumstances. Lord, and we bring them before you now. We ask that you would be with those who are struggling. And Lord, you know each of our lives. You know the things that we are struggling with. And we pray that we would be able to commit them to you. Lord, looking to you to strengthen us in them. Looking to you to bring us peace in the difficulties of life. Lord, looking to you to help us to find joy. As we're told in Colossians, as we go through those trials, we will be able to go through them with joy as you strengthen us and as you give us peace and as we reflect on your power and your ability to help us. Lord God, it may be stress with work, it may be trouble with money, there may be relationships that are broken that need restoring. Lord, it may be through illness. And we pray for those who have had operations, those who are recovering from operations, and we pray that your healing hand would be upon them. We pray for those who are in hospital at the moment. Lord, we ask that you would be with them. We pray that you would help the nurses and the doctors as they treat them for their specific needs. Lord, we want to thank you for nurses and doctors and those who can help us at these times. Lord, we want to remember those who have operations ahead of them. Lord, we pray that you would help them. We pray that you would give them patience as they wait. Lord, we pray that we would be able to uphold them in our own prayers, knowing that you're a God who does care. Now, Lord, there may be something that is troubling someone that I haven't mentioned. But Lord God, they can bring it to you because you know and you're a God who does care. We specifically want to remember Annette this week and the funeral of her mother on Tuesday. We pray that you would be with her at this difficult time. Lord, we pray that she would find comfort in you. And Lord, she would find strength and help to deal with everything that she and Trevor and the family have to do at this difficult time. Lord God, we want to remember our friends that we support in prayer who are missionaries abroad. We pray for James and Rachel. We ask you to help them in Cyprus in the work of the church there in Lefkosia. Lord, we pray that you would bless them in their work there. We also commit to you Rosie in Papua New Guinea as she moves from Rumgine, Lord, into one of the cities, and we pray that you'd help her as she changes her role there in Papua New Guinea. Bless her as she seeks to serve you there. And Lord, again, we remember closer to home. We remember the work and the campers this week. We pray that you would be with them. We thank you for a lovely day today, and we pray that you would give suitable weather for the whole week. We pray that you'd keep them safe. We pray that they would have fun. But Lord God, most of all we ask that as they gather around your word, that you would be with those who are giving the talks in the evening. And we ask that the campers would be able to understand. We pray that your word would be like a seed sown in their hearts, Lord, that would bring forth fruit for your honour and glory. We pray that you would teach them this week. We pray that their lives would be changed by what you have to say to them. And Lord, we commit John to you. We ask that you would help him as he brings your word to us this evening. Lord, as we had the two ways, the two gates this morning, we have the two builders this evening. We pray that, Lord, it's either one or the other. There's no third way. There's no sitting on the fence. Lord, pray, help us to realise that there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And we ask that you would lead us in that way that is right, in that way that leads to everlasting life, that leads to joy in heaven, that leads to being with you. We're so thankful that as we do live in a troubled world, we can see Satan's work round about us, but we know that you are a God who is in control, and we commit our lives to you. Amen.
Our second reading this evening is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 29, which is on page 812 of the Church Bibles. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes.
Thank you, Jacob, and thank you, Elijah. Well, before John comes to us and preaches from the passage that we've just had read to us, we're going to sing our third hymn, What Gift of Grace is Jesus My Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. And let's stand with the music.
My righteousness, my freedom, my faith. Now, I remember on more than one occasion when I was involved with camps, we had a camp game in the woods, which involved doing several different sort of tasks at different points in the woods. And one of them involved building a shelter. There was usually a limited amount of equipment that you had, a ground sheet, tarpaulin thing, maybe one or two other things. And you had a certain amount of time, and your aim was to build the best shelter that you could. And some campers did some pretty good shelters, others less so. And when the time was up, the leader had a bucket of water, and the bucket of water would be thrown over the shelter, and those who had built a good construction were happily dry inside, and those who hadn't been quite so smart got very wet in the activity. So you had different constructions and different outcomes when the bucket came their way. Well, here Jesus gives a story which has some connection, some similarity to that sort of game, although it's much more serious. And it aims to make us think about how we're reacting to the words of Jesus. What we're looking at this evening is said at the end of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. You're here at the start of camp, so it's perhaps an account and a thing to think about, yes, now, but also as you go through the week and towards the end of the week. And for the rest of us, we've heard a lot to do with the words of Jesus. So it's a good thing for us to be thinking through this evening. This talks about those who have heard his words, verse 24 and verse 26. Those who hear these words of mine, those who hear these words of mine. And you've done that. You've heard the words of Jesus. You will do that. You'll hear the words of Jesus. And the question is, what have you done with what you've heard? What will you do with what you hear? Let me read the story again of the two builders. It just takes up a few verses. We've just had it read to us. I'll read it again. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Well, we're going to go through this account, and I'm going to pull out just some lessons at the end. We have a wise house builder here, don't we? Have a wise house builder. We're not told much about the house that he builds. We don't know how many rooms it has, how many windows, how many chimneys it's got. We don't know how many doors. We imagine it does the job for what he needs. We're not told a lot about the materials that he used. We're not told what was in his toolkit that he utilised, but we presume these were okay in building the house. The main thing about this wise house builder is what he built on, is what he built on. He looks for a good plot. And he's not too worried about trees and views and garden and flowers. Maybe they're included in what he has in the patch, but he wants a good foundation. He makes sure that there is rock in the place that he builds. He wants to connect to something solid. The Gospel of Luke says he dug deep. He wanted to get down to the foundations, which were the rock. It might have been tempted to get straight on with building. Let's get this building up. Let's get going. But no, he knows that before going upwards, he wants to go downwards and connect to the rock to get good foundations in place first. Because the wise builder knows that it's not always going to be a sort of sunshine and gentle breeze. He knows there will be torrential rain. He knows there'll be howling winds. He knows there'll be floods of water running past the house. Now we are camping here in the summer. We're hoping for a good week of weather. That's the forecast, I think, at the minute, which would be very nice. But you wouldn't want to be in a tent on that field, would you, in the October gales or in the February frosts or when it's so raining so hard and cold in, or even snowy in January. Now, you'd be glad to be in something more solid, your home, at that stage. Well, this man, he knows that the weather will change, and when it does, he'll be okay, because he's built his house on the rock, and it doesn't fall. It stands. It survives to fight another day. It's secure, even when those things come. And Jesus says this wise house builder is a picture of something. It's a picture, really, of a wise life builder. A wise life builder. It's a picture of some people. It's a picture of some of us. Wise life builders. Smart life builders. People who have a good approach to life. And they hear the teachings of Jesus. And they listen to what Jesus says and what he's been saying in these chapters. And these men, these women, these young people, these children, they build their life on what they hear. So we think of what they've been hearing about in these chapters. Well, they hear about the fact that blessed are those who mourn, and they do mourn. They're sad in their hearts over their sin and the things that they have done wrong. They hear it's right to pray, forgive us our debts, and they have prayed that. They've asked for forgiveness themselves. They hear that life's not about money and building up treasure on earth, but treasure in heaven, and they've got treasure through Christ who died on the cross for them, and they know that they're safe in him. They've heard about asking and seeking and knocking, and they've responded by asking and seeking and knocking and finding forgiveness from a gracious God. And they heard perhaps what we heard this morning about entering in through the narrow gate. God's help, they've entered in, they've left behind trusting themselves, living for themselves, and they've started to live the Christian life. And then when difficulties come in this life, if they're unwell, if they have friendship problems, they're in a position to face it. So often I've heard people, believers, say, I just don't know how I would have faced what I've gone through if I didn't know God. And these wise life builders are like that. They have difficulties, but they can face them because they know God, because they have built on the truth of Jesus. They're safe in him. And even more than just the troubles of this life, here it's pointing to the troubles at the end of life. When they stand before the judgment throne of God and they give account for their lives. We've been thinking about on that day, just in the previous verses, and life and destruction in the verses before that. Then they're safe in the storm. They know that Jesus died for them. That they're loved by God. They're right with God. They have a place in heaven. They're heading to life. And they can face the flood of God's judgment. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. So the question is straightforward, isn't it, from that? Are you a wise life builder? Will you be a wise life builder? Jesus tells them about a stupid house builder or foolish house builder. We're not told much about his house either. It may have been just as spacious as the other fellows. It may have been better than the other person. It may have been nicely painted. It may have a balcony. It may have the ancient equivalent of an ensuite. Perhaps it had posters on the walls when it was finished. Maybe its surroundings were better as well. Could it have been by the beach? You pay more for properties or rooms with a sea view, and given what this was built on, this could well have had a sea view. We don't know quite how much he worked hard to get the walls good and the roof secure. Well, he probably built his house quicker than the other person. But all of these things didn't really matter because he had a bad choice of foundation. He saw a nice patch of sand. And he thought, that'll be okay. After all, it was blue sky when he saw the sand. And he thinks, this is just the spot for where I want to build my place to live in. But when sunshine gives way to storms, and when the gentle breeze gives way to gales, and when the dry sand just becomes awash with floods, this nice house, it didn't just tilt, there wasn't just a sort of mini subsidence to call in the surveyors to have a look at. It fell, it was gone, it crashed, it was useless, a bit like the one in our picture at the bottom. We've all built on sand, I guess. When we got to the beach, perhaps when we were younger, you remember the sand castles? I used to like the sand castle buckets that were actually sort of castle shaped. They looked quite good. If you got one of those on each of the corners of what you were making, that was quite nice, wasn't it? And you built it, and then what happened as the afternoon wore on? Tide came in. And let alone last in days, they didn't last hours. The stupid house builder, building his house on the sand. And Jesus is getting us to think about the fact that it's possible to be a stupid life builder. A stupid life builder. This is us. This is us if we go into life, through life, without taking on board the teaching of Jesus. We hear his teaching, but we don't act on it. His teaching, if you like, comes past us, but we don't sort of grab it and put it down and step on it and think, this is what my life is going to be built on. We don't find forgiveness. We don't find treasure in heaven. We don't seek first the kingdom of God. We don't enter in by the narrow gate. And then when life's difficulties come, when you have an injury, when you're dropped from the sports team and are bitterly disappointed, when your exam results are less than you hoped for, when you lose your job, when there's trouble in the family, well, we've got no basis to face it. And even more when we come to the end of life, when we stand face to face with God and we answer for our lives, and we will come to that day when the flood of judgment, if you like, is heading our way. We're not safe. We're floundering. We're whisked away. We've got nothing to secure to hold on to. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So it's a simple question here, isn't it? Are you a stupid life builder? A foolish life builder? As you hear things this week, will you be a stupid life builder in your response? I think what we've heard makes three lessons very clear. I want to just make them. I'd like to have made them in nice, short statements, but it's not the way it came, so they're a bit wordy. But here's the first. It's not enough just to hear. And as we were praying beforehand, just crossed my mind, each of these three, you could have an emoji with them, really. And this one, I think, would be a sort of, you know, the thoughtful emoji. Do you ever use the thoughtful emoji on your phone? Thinking about this one. It should make us thoughtful. It's not enough just to hear. It's not enough just to hear the gospel. You will hear things. You have heard talks. You've heard messages. That's good. That's a great blessing. It's something to give thanks for. This week there'll be talks. Leaders would have put a lot of time into getting them as best they can. They'd have struggled, as we all do, but they would have tried. People will be doing thought provokers, and you'll have Bible reading times perhaps. You will hear things, and that's good. We have heard many things over many years, a lot of us. But that's not enough. You need to receive it. You need to act on it. You need to build your life on it. You need to put your trust in Jesus and start to live for him. You might hear a great talk. It might be the best talk that camp has ever heard. You might be taking notes of it. You might have a bumper discussion group. Great, great, great. But will it affect your life? Ezekiel talks really about the equivalent of concerts in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel 33, and I'll read verse 32. And behold, you are like to them, one who sings passionate songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument, for they hear what you say, but they will not do it. So people go and listen and watch something. In fact, you see a film and you think, well, that's a great film, it was just so inspiring, you know, I was just captivated while I was there. Or you hear a concert and you love music and you just think, oh, it was out of this world. But 10 minutes afterwards, you're no different, life carries on. And people can be like that with God's word. They can hear the words of Jesus, but it's not enough just to hear. Something to think about. Is that me? I'm just, James said, we had it read, didn't we? James 1 and verse 12, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's not enough just to hear. Secondly, the future is dangerous without Jesus. The future is dangerous without Jesus. And if I was to put an emoji, it would be a sort of shocked emoji, you know, where the mouth is open, somebody's gasping and trying to take in what's just happened. Because this is shocking, thought-provoking. We might be able to cope okay now with life being easy. But if you ignore the teaching of Jesus, when the difficulties come, and especially with the end of life coming, if you've taken no notice of Jesus' teaching, if you haven't found forgiveness through him, you're in an awful position. It's dangerous. You're not able to cope. It will be beyond you. You don't want to be in that position. You don't want to ignore the teaching of Jesus. Why did God send his son into the world? Not just for some nice sort of story to interest. He sent him to be a saviour. And if you ignore the saviour, you can't be rescued. nothing to protect you. Nothing to shelter you. I mean, in the camp game, it was no big deal, especially if it was a hot day. The campers didn't mind getting a little bit wet. It was good to talk about afterwards. But to be vulnerable in the day of judgment and unprotected is something so, so different. The future is dangerous without Jesus. And then lastly, there is safety through Jesus. There's safety through Jesus. The emoji here would be a happy face, a contented face, a relieved face, a settled face. If you have listened to Jesus, if you've put your trust in him, if you're seeking the kingdom of God, you can feel so relieved at the thought of the difficulties and of that great day. You can have a smile on your face in anticipation of it. If Jesus is your saviour and your leader, if you've confessed your sins, and if you've put your trust in him, you can face the day in a safe position. You're in a position of safety. One of the songs, I wish I had noticed the other one as well, but I'm no good at remembering lyrics, but one of the songs we said, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. How good it is to be safe and secure because your life is built on Christ and his teaching. Are you enjoying that safety? You've got that reason for a deep heart smile, if you like. I don't know if you know the shortest reign of English kings and queens, and monarchs. There was a comparatively young person called Lady Jane Grey. Lady Jane Grey, mid-1500s. And she was Queen of England for only 9 days. She was deposed by her sister, Mary, a bloody Mary, as she came to know, because of the way in which she acted and what she did to people. And because Jane wouldn't renounce her faith in Christ, because she wanted to stay faithful to Christ, she was condemned to be executed. This book writes a bit about it. Upon mounting the scaffold, she addressed the spectators with the following words. I die as a true Christian woman, and I look to be saved by no other means but only the mercy of God and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Then she knelt and recited Psalm 51 as a confession of her sins. Her executioner was moved to kneel with her and ask her forgiveness, which she willingly granted. She faced execution head down with the words, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Lady Jane Grey was only 16 years old. Well, I think she'd built her life on the Lord Jesus Christ. She evidently trusted him. She knew she was forgiven. And she was facing tremendous downpour and floods, and she was facing death itself at such a young age. And yet she could do so with a sense of settledness and peace because she knew forgiveness through Jesus. Safety through Jesus. So they'd heard these words. How did they all react at the end? And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. They were impressed. Did they act on the teaching of Jesus? Did they start to follow? We're not told exactly. Maybe this story impresses you a bit this evening. Maybe the other things you've heard about Jesus impress you. Maybe by the end of the week you'll be struck by what you hear. Big question from the two builders story is, what will it lead to? Will you build your life and your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to sing a song which will help us think about this a bit more. We sung our first song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, and we've got the older, more original version of it that we're going to sing now. And I wanted to sing this version at the end because of the chorus that we're singing each time, if you could go on to the chorus, where it gets us to think or be able to say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. What a wonderful position to be in, to be able to say that for yourself. Let's sing this through. Thank you.
closing prayer, I just want to read two verses of
invitation, which may be an encouragement for anyone who is deeply concerned about the things they've heard today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. O Lord, do help us to be thoughtful, to be suitably alarmed at some of the things we've been thinking about this evening. But we pray that the things that we have heard from this plain teaching of the Saviour may drive us to him if we haven't gone to him before, that we might go in repentance and faith and find that abundant forgiveness and pardon which comes through him, so that we might find ourselves in that very, very safe place on the rock who is Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.